Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I'm just going to end the year in a bang. It's our last message of the year. And now next Sunday morning, and the Lord willing, unless he should direct something different, we're always open, we're going to talk about what God has in store for us as our church for the coming year. Amen. You know, kind of get ourselves tuned up and pointed in the right direction. But this morning, I'll do that next Sunday morning. And that's, once again, that's subject to change, but that's my plan. But this morning, I want you to find two passages. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll start with these two passages, and we just want to share some things with you. Are you ready? Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll go there first. You've got it, say, I have it.
I have it.
1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to read verse 12. The Bible says, fight.
Yeah.
Fight. How many like to fight? Well, not really. Not really. You know, growing up as a kid, you know, every now and then I'd have to fight, you know. It wasn't one of my favorite pastimes, but sometimes it just happened. You know, there was a kid used to start a fight with me. I wouldn't say every day, but it just seemed like it. And Randy probably remember that. His name was Karate. I don't know that he knew an ounce of karate. If he did, it didn't work on me. Finally, you know, the bus driver, she pretty much had enough of us fighting outside the bus door. You know, she knew he started. I didn't start it. And one day, he was mouthing off on the bus, and so I got up and went back there and started plowing into him, and the bus driver told me to beat the blank out of him. So I proceeded to remove a couple of his teeth, but I didn't like to fight. Now, I had a friend, you know, this was B.C. Everybody say B.C.? How many know what B.C. is? Before Christ. I had a friend that he, every time he'd get a little too much to drink, he always wanted to fight. Couldn't go anywhere with him because he'd start a fight. And in those days, in our little county, our towns were rivals. We had sports teams, you know, and now they're all, they threw them all together, you know, in one school. And but at that time, we weren't, you know, all together like that. And he would start stuff with the other towns. And even when they threw us together, we weren't getting along for a few years before we integrated, you know, and realized we're all pikers.
Yeah.
What's so funny about that? I'm proud to be a piker.
Yeah.
Or at least I know I'm free. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, how many pikers or ex-pikers do we have in the house? Glory to God. Everybody else, he that's ignorant, let him be ignorant. Amen. Amen. Now, fight the good fight of faith. So there's a fight to faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So I want to preach on this morning, just for a little bit, on fight the good fight of faith. Now let's go to the other scripture I told you to go to, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's go to verse 7. This is Paul again. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So there we see twice that Paul used the word fight in talking about the Christian life.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we're not to fight one another. Come on, I've been in church wars. Amen. Not ours. But I have been. We're not to fight one another. We're to fight the good fight of faith. The fight that we're in is a fight of faith. Now, what does that mean? That means there's a fight to faith. Now, what's the fight to faith? Well, the fight to faith is the fight to stay in faith. Amen. I mean, you know, you have to fight to stay in faith. Otherwise, the devil will, you know, he'll try to get you out of faith. You know, he knows how important the Word of God is to you, you know, because faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. So he knows how important the Word is to you. That's why the Bible says that he comes immediately to steal the Word of God away. Now, why would he come immediately? If he's that concerned, then he must know something. He must know that if a believer gets a hold of the Word, there's something that comes when they get a hold of the Word, and that's called faith. Amen. Now, you know, when Jesus was in his ministry, you know, there was a time when Peter... Jesus said to his disciples, he said, all of you are going to stumble because of me this night. And you're all going to forsake me. And, you know, Peter said, no, I won't. He said, I'm ad-libbing, okay? I'm ad-libbing. He said, no, I know John, he probably will. And Thomas, you know, he doesn't believe anything. And you know I've known Andrew, he's my brother, and I know he won't stick with you. You know, and James, he's not going to stay, and Judas, you know, well, we all know about Judas. And so actually, you know, Peter, he shot his mouth off and he said, though I'll leave you, yet I won't. And Jesus said, Peter, I want to tell you something before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me three times. But I want you to notice what he said. He said, Peter, I've prayed for you. Now, how many think that Jesus would know what to pray for, wouldn't he? Yes. Wouldn't he? Well, you think you know what to pray for? How many think Jesus is just not hoping that God the Father hears? How many, he didn't go to Lazarus' tomb and say, well, I hope this works. I read about this in a book one time. An evangelist from Africa did this. Come on, are you with me now? See, he had confidence. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. I know you always hear me. And I'm only saying this because of those that are around me. Lazarus, come forth. Amen. It's like I've said, we pray more over the offering than he does to raise somebody from the dead that's been dead for 4 days. I'd say there's some confidence in his life. And so Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. He knew what the devil was after in Peter's life. He's after his faith. Amen. When the devil, you know, when the devil came to Job, and the Bible talks about that the devil came before God, and the Lord said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you been looking at Job? Have you been checking out? Now, what was he doing going to and fro on the earth? Well, the New Testament tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's in the earth looking for people to devour. And the Lord said, have you been thinking about Job? And he said, hey, I can't touch Job. You got a hedge around him. But he said, I'll tell you what, if you take the hedge away and you let me touch his possessions, he'll curse you to your face. What was Job after? Well, he wasn't after, or what was Satan after? He wasn't after Job's possessions. He was after his faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You know, if the devil can keep you, if the devil can get your faith, he's got you. Amen. If he can keep you ignorant of what the Word says. Amen. That's why the Word's so important to our life. Amen. You may get tired of hearing me preach on this, but we're not going to stop. Amen. 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 You know, someday, you know, you just keep preaching because people wake up to it. You know what I'm saying? But then some people you think, well, they're never going to wake up. But you just never give up. One day they're going to get it. One day. I was dear friends with a man named Leon Powell. Most of you, a lot of you remembered Leon. Now, Leon was a great man of God, and but, you know, he was religious. He was, before he got a hold of the Word. And, you know, Leon, he became a great leader in the Word of Faith movement. I mean, he was, for 10 years, he was the secretary for an international organization called ICFM, International Convention of Faith Ministries, where it's all the faith preachers belong to, all the Word of God, Word of Faith preachers belong to, Brother Hagin, you know, Fred Price, you want to name them. They were part of that organization. Leon was their secretary, and Leon was often called the Pope from Springfield. Because he, you know, that's where he was at in the Springfield, Missouri area, and he raised up I don't know how many churches. I have no idea. I think one time, this may not be exact, but I think one time I heard 200. That's a lot. And so, but Leon, and Leon, you know, I mean, you get around him, you know, I mean, he had a lot of energy. Sometimes if I'd be with him for too many days, my eyes would glaze over. And Phyllis could tell I need to go home. And, you know, he was older than I am. You know, he was, I don't know, almost 20 years older, probably. Not quite, but probably close to it anyway. Older than I was, but we became good friends. And he preached for us here. You know, but Leon wasn't always that way. Brother Leon wasn't always that way. You know, he got turned on to the Word of God at a Jerry Savelle meeting. And he went there to prove him wrong. Miss Virginia, his wife, whom many of you know also, because she's been here with him, she got turned on to the Word of God. She got turned on to the Word of Faith. And she was trying to get Leon to go. So Leon decided, I'm going to go, but I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to prove him wrong. Well, thank God he took his Bible, because when he took his Bible and Brother Savelle began preaching the Word of God out of the Bible, all of a sudden Leon saw it was in his Bible also. Hello! Did you know the truths that we preach are in your Bible too? They're not just in ours. Brother Copeland said he was preaching one time, and some woman on the front row said, what kind of Bible's he reading out of anyway? He said, the same kind you got. You ought to read it. Hallelujah. Well, I just can't seem to get victory. It's in the book. I know sometimes us men, the last thing we like to do is read instructions. If you're like me, you know, if I buy something, you know, and it needs put together, I don't want the instructions. I want the box it came in. What do you want that for? I want to look at the picture. I'm not going to read the instructions. I'm going to look at the picture. I'm going to make this thing look like the box, the picture on the box. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, the thing of it is as believers, we need to read the instructions. Amen. So he said, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Just wanted you to see, there's got to be a fight in you. Yeah. Right. You got to have some, what do you mean? Well, you got to fight to stay in faith. You got to fight. Yeah. Right. It doesn't come easy. Amen. Amen. You know, if you want things easy, you're in the wrong kingdom. You got to fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight, yeah. Didn't he? Yeah. Amen. No, he didn't say, don't you didn't say, I took a good vacation. Amen. Now, you know, I understand that face arrest, but you got to fight to enter into the rest of God. You know what I'm saying? You got to fight that fight to stay in that rest. But once you're in there, it's a rest, but you got to fight. Amen. Amen. You got to fight. Amen. And so I just want to center in on this morning. I'm going to look at some scripture this morning about this, just in the time that we have. I'd like for you to go to Numbers, the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 14, if you would please. Numbers 14. God moves in an atmosphere of faith. You know, why do we have praise and worship? Well, it invites an atmosphere of God into the house. When we worship Him, the Bible tells us in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of His people. Some translations said He sets His throne up on that. Amen. Or he inhabits it. His presence comes in. Amen. And so if we're going to have church, let's have God. Yes. Amen. Amen. I mean, this is his house, right? Now, you can do church without him. All kinds of churches do. But I tell you what, I'm not interested in all that. Amen? I mean, if all I'm coming to is a club, I'm not coming on Sunday morning. I'm going to do something else. But if we're going to meet God, I won't be here. How about you? Amen? You know, and there's, don't misunderstand, we still use the word service, and there's nothing wrong with that, because we are here to serve people, but the reason we're here is to meet with God. If we don't meet with God, we don't have anything to serve people. I don't want just what naturally, you know, like preachers today that say God doesn't speak anymore, and then they get up and preach. I'm thinking, sit down, shut up. God doesn't speak. Why do I want to listen to donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn? God still speaks to us. Amen. Amen. Through his word. Amen. And you know, sometimes, you know, listen, we may not always like the vessel. You know, maybe you don't like me. I don't know. I think most of you do. I think some of you tolerate me. But that's not even important. Dr. Barclay's got a guy who's been coming to his church for 20 years that doesn't like him. Told him so. Told him one Sunday morning, Pastor, I'm leaving the church. The pastor said, why? He said, I just don't like you. He said, oh, I ain't that bad, am I? Come on, brother. Just hang around and help me preach. And the guy said, well, okay. 20 years later, he's still giving, supporting, and helping the church. And Dr. Burke said, I still don't think he likes me. But now we laugh at that guy, but, you know, there is something about that guy is a mature person. That he knows where God put him, and he may not exactly like the vessel all the time, but he knows where he belongs. He knows where his food is at. Hallelujah. And he's there. So really there's some maturity to that. I don't know that he had to go tell his pastor that, but anyway, the thing of it, well, you know, Dr. Barclay is kind of hard to offend. But you know, I mean, when you've been a Marine as long as he has, Vietnam and all, and fought all the fights he's fought, you know, something like that's not going to bother you. Amen. Now, so is there any fight in you? You got to ask yourself, do I have any fight in me? See, God moves in that atmosphere of faith. There are certain atmospheres, you know. A fish, he lives in the atmosphere of water. You take him out of there, he's in trouble. Amen. So, listen, this isn't just good preaching material. I live this way. And I have a blessed life. Amen. It works. Amen. When you live by faith, what the Bible tells us to. So we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Now, here in Numbers, go there, Numbers chapter 14. I want to read about four verses here. This is about the children of Israel. And it says, verse 1, Numbers 14, all the congregation lifted up their voice. They cried, and the people wept that night. Now, why are they weeping? Well, because God's brought them to the point of going into the promised land. And now they've sent spies over to check out the land, to spy out the land. And 10 of them came back with an evil report and said, we can't do it. The land eats up the inhabitants. It'll eat us up. There's giants in the land. They're more than us. They're greater than us. We can't go in. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, let's go at once. We're well able to overcome them. Yes. Now, why did they say that? They said that because God said they could. Yes. All right. They believed what God said more than what they saw. Yes. Right. I mean, they saw the same thing everybody else saw. Are you with me now? Yes. See, they all saw the same giants, but it depends on how you respond to them. Yes. Right. Your response is everything. Two responded with what God said. 10 responded with what they saw. Well, Pastor, if you just had the problems I have, are you kidding me? I live in the same world you do. There's no new set of problems. They're all the same. So we all have to face the same thing. It's a matter of how we respond to that. Amen? You know, listen, see, it's how we respond to the giants. We have to respond right. We all have things, you know. You can respond differently. You know, you can respond in faith. You can respond in the Word. You can respond in the, you know, well, just for instance, you know, a lot of people respond different with to different people. You know what I mean by that is sometimes people will treat you a certain way. Some people respond in love. Some people respond in fight. That's how they responded. Amen. You know, I told you the story about when the guys hollered something at me when I was on the trail running. And these guys drove by and they hollered something at me. I responded wrong. I could have responded differently. I'm just being honest with you. When they hollered what they hollered at me, I responded and I hollered back. And I said, because they're driving by when they said it. You know, I mean, you know what I mean. They could have come and said it to my face, you know. But they drove by and they hollered something at me and I hollered back. Why don't you come back and say it to me face to face like a man? And then I thought, what am I going to do if they do? I'm the pastor of the church. See, that was a wrong response, see? How should I have responded? Well, just ignored it. Amen. Are you with me now? Okay. So you can respond to giants differently, amen? Come on now. Now, here's what's happening here. Numbers 14 is that all the congregation, you know, they've all fallen into this trap of unbelief. Amen. You have to watch what you say. You know, in Joshua 14, when Caleb is rehearsing this account right here, he said, "My brethren that went with me to spy out the land, they made the heart of the people melt." What's he saying? They took faith right out of them. How'd they do that? By what they said. You can take faith out of yourself by what you say. If you say what God says, His Word has faith in it. It puts faith back in you. But if you say what the world's saying, amen, or what people are saying, or what you feel like saying, then you're going to be in unbelief. And you know what? No amount of prayer, no amount of laying hands on people will help them if they don't turn that. Amen. Well, I just want somebody to feel sorry for me. Well, that's just wonderful. What good's that going to do you? All right, we feel sorry for you. You better? No, you're not any better, are you? Are you with me now? See, we can have compassion, but compassion does something. Amen. Now notice this, verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, and that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Now, what happened with these people? Well, they lost their will to fight. They lost their will to fight. Now, you have to understand, it's not that these people didn't know how to fight. They'd already beaten two of the biggest kings in all of the land, Og and Sihon. They already had. So they knew how to fight, but they lost their desire to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And so they were ready, listen now, they were ready to go back into Egypt. Come on. See, when you lose the fight of faith, when you lose that desire to fight the good fight of faith, you're willing to settle for what you were delivered from. Come on, are you with me this morning now? I hope I'm helping you. Listen, I'm not willing to go back to what I was delivered from. Now you have to fight the fight of faith. You have to fight the fight in your mind. You know, the Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that tells us what those strongholds are. We think about strongholds in the heavens and all. Well, let me tell you, the strongest strongholds that we have to deal with are right above our nose, right here. See, and it talks about those strongholds, pulling down imaginations and every thought. you know, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, pulling down the imaginations and all that. What is that talking about? Well, it's talking about your mind, amen. If you don't learn to deal with your mind, you don't learn to make your mind behave, that mind will just run you crazy. Amen. You know, people that don't deal with their thoughts, they don't have a good life. You have to learn to deal with your thoughts. Because, you know, Brother Hagin should say it like this. He said, you can't stop thoughts from coming, but you can keep them from staying. You don't have to, he said, you can't think thoughts from coming, but you don't have to let them, you know, just reside and stay there. You can kick them out. Amen.
That's right.
Like he used to say, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest on top of it. They're going to fly over. Thoughts are going to come. You know, good thoughts, bad thoughts, all kinds of thoughts come to all of us. And the devil say, aren't you something thinking those thoughts? And really, you didn't even want them. So they're not really your thoughts. Amen. I mean, you know, I remember when I first got saved, I remember the thoughts I had to fight. You know, I came out of the life of doing drugs. That's what I did. You know, I worked during the week, but I still did drugs during the week. But the weekends, that's all we did. You know, I mean, during the week, I worked. You know, I had to have money. And so, but on the weekends, that's all I did. I remember after I got saved, I remember those first few weeks, being home on Friday night, reading my Bible, praying, listening to somebody preach. My mind started talking to me. It started saying, you have gone crazy. What are you doing? See, it needed renewed, you know. Yeah. And it was used to going out and partying and doing the drugs and running around and doing all that we did. And it just wasn't just taking it, sitting down. I had to deal with it. Come on, are you with me?
Yeah.
I dealt with it. I'm just, you know, you shut up. You're not in control any longer. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
I've been born again. The man on the inside's in control. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So see, some people just let their mind just rule their life. Whatever they think, they just let it rule their life. Now you got to learn to cast it down. You got to fight the good fight of faith.
Right.
Well, you know, you don't do everything you think, right? You don't do everything. I mean, there's times I've thought about things, I don't do them. I say, no, I'm not going to do that. Amen. Your mind, even though I've been saved for years, my mind still has to be kept in line with the Word of God. Your flesh has to be kept in line. Come on, are you with me now? I mean, you know, I was out for a run one time, and I ran by, and I was walking, go down to where I was going to go run out. I was walking, and there was a cigarette laying there, and nobody had smoked it. And there's a cigarette there, and the first thing in my mind said, pick it up and smoke it. And I thought, well, you lying thing, you. Don't y'all look so holy. You know, you never have thoughts to do things that are wrong? Come on, be honest with me. Sure you do. What do you do with them? You have to bring them into captivity. You have to say you're not in charge.
Amen.
I'm not smoking that cigarette. I smoked my last Winston Light on December 19th, 18th, 19th, whatever it was, of 1981. I haven't smoked one since. And I'm not going to start now. It could be anything. Are you with me now? My body hadn't forgot about it. It still hadn't forgot about it, but it doesn't get it. I mean, I'm not saying I desire it, don't misunderstand me, but I'm just saying the devil will bring silly thoughts to your mind. Amen. You know, you come to my house, you see a $100 bill on the counter, the devil says, take it. Pastor wouldn't suspect you. You could probably take that home. He wouldn't suspect you. Well, how many know that's a wrong thought? What should you do with it? Cast it down. Amen? Some of you are looking so doggone serious like you never have any of your own thoughts. You lying thing, you need to repent right now. Of course you do. We all do. We have to deal with them. Thoughts that will come, you know, like, you know, we'll just chew them out. Just let them have it. Amen. What do you do with it? You take control. Well, you're going to have thoughts that are going to try to talk you out of your faith. You're going to have thoughts that are going to try to talk you out of your healing. You're going to have thoughts that are going to try to talk you out of the different blessings that God's given to you. You have to learn to deal with those thoughts and say, no, I'm not dwelling on that. The Bible tells me what to think on. Now, either I obey that or I don't obey that. If I obey that, then I'm going to be blessed. If I don't obey that, then I'm going to have problems in my life. And there's nothing anybody can do anything about it. There's not going to be a special anointing service at church where all of a sudden it goes away. I'm going to have to deal with that. Amen? I'm going to have to handle it. Well, these people here, their thoughts were, let's go back to Egypt. I mean, that's a wrong thought. Amen? You have to do something. Look at James. Let's go there. We're about to close out here. James chapter 2. I want to show you this. And I think if I have time, we'll want to go to the book of Ephesians. James chapter 2. Let's go there. James, the second chapter. So we have to fight the good fight of faith. What's that mean? Well, it just means we have to fight to stay in faith. When we set our heart to believe God for something, the devil's going to challenge that. He's not going to just leave that uncontested. We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight to stay in faith. And to keep our faith on that. You ever had something you're believing for and sometimes it looks like it gets worse?
Yeah.
Remember that he was the leader of the synagogue. Jairus came to Jesus one time and his daughter was at the point of death. And he comes to Jesus and he besought him. The King James says he begged him, come and lay your hands on my daughter. He said, my little daughter's at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on my little daughter that she may be healed and she shall live. I mean, he's standing in faith for his daughter to be healed. And so Jesus starts to go with him, and then the woman with the issue of blood comes up and touches his garment and she is healed. And so he lets her give her testimony. And in the process of time, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, don't bother the master any longer. Your daughter has died. Well, I mean, that's the opposite of what he was believing for,
right?
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Totally opposite of what he was believing for. He's now heard what you believe for didn't come to pass. The opposite has happened. But I want you to notice that Jesus responded immediately and said, fear not, only believe, and she shall be made whole.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? Don't stop fighting the good fight of faith. You come this far, pal, don't quit now.
That's right.
Amen. Why, he is the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
See, things can die in your life, but Jesus can raise them back.
Amen.
I mean, you could have things that died, but there's no end if Jesus is the resurrection.
Amen.
Don't let a timepiece on the wall dictate to you.
Amen.
Are you with me now?
Yes.
See, this guy got about as bad as news as you could possibly get. But Jesus said, fear not. Not hard, is it? Only believe. She'll be made well. If you just don't fear this news, you know what the word fear means? Have you ever heard of the fear of the Lord? Now, what does the fear of the Lord mean? Anybody got any idea what the fear of the Lord means? The reverence of the Lord, right? The reverence of the Lord, right? Did you know that word fear in its base meaning means to reverence. That's what it means, to reverence something. All right? So when Jesus was saying, fear not, he was saying, don't reverence that report. Keep reverencing God.
Amen.
If you're going to fear something, fear God. Don't reverence that. Come on, if you get this. See, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley, Psalm 23, of the shadow of death, I will reverence no evil, for you're with me. No matter what kind of evil report I get, I'm not going to reverence that. I'm not going to bow down to that. Like, that's my God. Oh, I know I got a bad report. You're my God. You're going to dictate what's going to happen to my life. No. How about bow down to the Word of God and say, I'm going to reverence this report.
Yes.
Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? So whose report are we supposed to believe? Well, we're not supposed to believe. I mean, we're not supposed to reverence that report. We're to reverence that report. I'm telling you, if you learn to do this, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, we're not saying that doctor's report was a lie. No. It may be total truth. It will kill you if you don't do something about it. Amen. But what we're saying is that's not what we bow down in reverence to. That's not what we build our life around. I'm going to build my life around what God said.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to bow down to that. That may be true, but I got a greater truth here. Amen. That may be a fact, but here's the truth.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You know, listen, God's not, he's not out of miracles. Amen.
Amen.
Now, James chapter 2. Let's go there as we close out. All right, James chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. So how many of us not just enough to believe? Devils believe. Demons believe. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What's he saying? He's saying, well, look, it's not enough just to believe. You got to do something with what you believe. You got to act on what you believe. You got to fight the good fight of faith with what you believe. See, listen, our warfare that we're in, listen, our warfare that we're in is the fight of faith. It's to stay in faith. Amen? See, and if you learn to do that, if you learn to stay in faith, I know this is a simple message this morning, but you know what? Somebody needs to hear this morning. Maybe I need to hear it again. You got to fight the good fight of faith. Because I've been like you, you know, I've stood for things, you know, and then, you know, I get weary in the battle, you know.
Come on,
has anybody else got weary in the battle?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, well, you know, I'm just going to go the world's way here. I'm going to take their help. One time I was wavering back and forth, you know, I was standing on the word of God for this particular thing. You know, I stood, and you know, I knew I could go to the world and get what I needed, you know. I'm not talking about something wrong, but I knew I'd go to the world and get what I needed. And I began thinking about, well, how I would do that. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you might as well go do that. Because if you got plan A and plan B, plan A's my plan, plan B's your plan, and you got a plan B, he said, go do your plan. Because you're not in faith. Amen. So just go ahead and do it. Now, there wasn't anything wrong with it, but the thing of it is when God blesses you, it's a lot better than when the world...
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, are you with me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many ever go to the doctor?
Yeah.
How many know it would be a lot better if you just receive healing from God, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not knocking going to the doctor. God uses doctors. I understand that. Amen. I totally believe that. And I believe he gave them the wisdom to do what they do. But I'm just talking to you about what's easier.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I owe on my house. How many know it's a lot easier just to pay cash for it? You don't have to jump through as many hoops. Are you with me now? You know, like with healing, I haven't been to a doctor for a sickness in a long time. If I needed to, I would. But I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to give God the first shot at this thing. Amen. I'm going to grab hold of my provision.
Amen.
Come on, somebody with me now.
Amen.
If I have to go, I have to go. But that's last resort, not first resort.
Right.
That's not first thinking in my mind. That's last thinking in my mind. Because here's what I know. They're going to charge. God doesn't charge.
Amen.
They're going to make me sit in a waiting room. They're going to tell me to be there at 2 o'clock and see me at 3 or 4. They're going to poke me. They're going to stick me. They're going to embarrass me. Amen.
Amen.
They're going to want to see things I've checked out a long time ago. It's all right. Come on, are you with me?
Amen.
I remember going to the doctor one time, and I had something wrong with me. This was when I was younger. I was just a kid, 12 years old. And he said, now, I'm going to have to give you this shot, and it's a big shot, so I'm going to have to give it back here where there's more padding. And he said, it's going to hurt like blank. He didn't lie. I've never had God do me that way. I've never walked into the throne of God and he said, okay, what kind of insurance do you have? I've never had him say, I'm going to try and see if this works. Amen. You know, do what you want, but I mean, I trust God for my teeth. What do you mean by that? I mean, I'll just confess I have no cavities. You have cavities? Not since I started doing that. Maybe one since I started doing that, but that's it. Amen. And I don't have a perfect diet. Don't look at me like that. You're worse than I am sometimes. Sometimes. But see, God, His way is a lot better. See, there's a story in the Bible about a king, and he was diseased in his feet. And the Bible said, in his disease, his name was Asa. This is 2 Chronicles 16. It said, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, God wasn't aggravated because he went to physicians. I'm a firm believer that God raised doctors up. So what the problem was, he didn't even attempt to go to God with his problem. And the Bible said, and he died. Doctors couldn't help him. You know, sometimes doctors can't help you. Amen? You know, even in the most major problems of life, God has an answer. You may think I'm too far gone, and maybe financially or physically or some other area. Let me tell you something. God has an answer. He has an answer. I'm assuming she's in heaven now. I'm going to assume that. Because she was older when she came and preached for us years ago at the Revival Center. But she was from our area, a lady that had gotten cancer. I can't tell you what kind she had. This is a lot of years ago. But she had cancer. But she had it so bad that, now I never saw her. I'm going to be honest with you. I never saw her when she was in this condition. I saw her after she was healed. But I did know people that knew her and saw her. Matter of fact, my own mother saw her before she was healed. And Mom said that her skin was just like paper thin. It was just being eaten up with cancer. A lot of her, they had wrapped up. They had put a body cast on her body. Then they had wrapped her head up. And she was just eaten up with cancer. And you understand, this we're talking about 1970. She came to preach for us in the 1980s, probably early 80s. But this woman was just absolutely without any hope. I mean, they were just holding her together, you know, with tape, with a cast, with wrapped up her body to keep her together. And but did you know what? And she had lost all of her hair. Now, I'm going to tell you some things you may not believe, but I got good sources on this. One's my own mother. I think Mom's a pretty good source. That this woman, Jesus healed this woman totally. Totally. And she didn't have any hair, and the next day when she was seen by people, she had hair on her head. Now, you know, you read it on some website or something, yeah, well, people make stuff up. But I'm talking about people that knew her. She was a local lady. I didn't know her. I wasn't saved when she was going through this. I was saved when she was giving her testimony about being healed. But she had that body cast on, and that body cast kept her body together. I don't understand all of this, but I'm just telling you what I know. And she went to the doctor, who was an atheist doctor, and she said to him, Jesus has healed me. Well, he cursed. I don't believe blankety blank blank. And she said, but he's healed me. I want you to take this cast off. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, if I take the cast off, as soon as it's off, you'll die. She said, but Jesus has healed me. I demand you to take this cast off of me. He said, okay. He said, I'm going to take it off of you, but you're going to die. He took it off of her, and she was healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He cursed God, said, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in God. Get out of here. I don't ever want to see you again. Hopefully he got saved later on. But he was face to face with a miracle. But you know, she had to fight for that. She had to fight the good fight of faith. You have to fight, amen? I don't know why I told you that story, but it just came to me, so I told it to you. Did you get something out of that? Amen. And, you know, I would assume she's in heaven now, this because she was a little elderly when we had her in the 80s, and that's been a few years back. Amen. But thank God we win. Amen. Listen, Pastor Jerry, right here on the front row, he said this one time when he's preaching. I wrote it down. Begin in faith, stay in faith, end in faith. Begin in faith, stay in faith, end in faith. What's that mean? Fight the good fight of faith. Keep fighting it. Don't quit. You know, evidently somebody was about ready to quit. Well, don't quit. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.